Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Hello.
Hello. I will accept your invitation to record this meeting.
Please accept my invitation to record this Zoom meeting. State to state, still no Kyle. He's got a life to lead. So fair enough. And sure. we love him dearly. Hope it is going well. Mm-hmm. So, but he will be doing the good work of editing and making this all into a podcast.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it. you're in Phoenix, right?
I am, and I hope the AC is not causing audio problems because it is not getting turned off.
No, nor is mine. I am in my garage, and it is a million degrees in Van Nuys. So
listen, I don't want to hear it because it's 115 here.
Oh, my
and
God.
Even here, they're like, it's 10 degrees higher than normal at this time. So, yeah. And at last night's show, there was a... everyone's phones went off at the same time. There was an Amber Alert, but it was for a dust storm advisory. And I made fun of them for being pussies because you're getting an Amber Alert for dust. Wow. Okay. And then later that night, as we were leaving, the dust storm came in and I was like, what the fuck? This is terrifying. It was all of a sudden I was like in Oklahoma in 1930. It was a terrifying situation.
Yeah. Yeah. They are not playing around, in the desert because things blow around like crazy.
That's the other thing is the wind is hot here. It's very disconcerting because you feel like it's a breeze, but it doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't help. All it is doing is stealing the breath out of your lungs. I'm at Flappers this weekend, and Flappers got moved to the Yoo-Hoo room because there was famous people and things happened. And then that famous person left, and they just sort of, they didn't want to do it again. I was like, I don't care. The Yoo-Hoo room was delightful. But
Was it Leno?
No, it was I've never heard of.
He was main room, and you were
YouTube
Yoo-Hoo.
Guy. Yeah. So,
okay.
So I think they put Leno in there, and so Leno, just because it was easier than moving me back. Michael Blackson, do you know Michael Blackson?
I don't, but I wish him all the best.
All the best.
Always wish all YouTube comedians all the best. Good luck to you. Hope you have a nice long career.
Right. I think this is probably going to work out for him.
Sure.
Yeah, so I had two sets last night. I continue to overthink the set. Added with the fact that I have to sort of reinvent for comics who haven't done a lot of albums, and it's probably true for musicians too, is there's a certain amount of not anxiety, but like concern when you perform. So, you know, you're just like, you have there's more to it than just having fun.
Like right.
If I was just doing Flappers headlining, I would have the time of my life. I would be sweating my balls, which I don't own. And then I would be, because it's so hot in the room. The green room, super cold. But awesome. But to do the Yoo-Hoo room for an hour, is brutal. And
you're the last one up. So you've had all these people in this room for, you know, an hour or 45 minutes or at least 30, making the room hotter.
Right. And lots of guest sets and lots of comics just showing up to hang out. And that's all very flattering, but get out. and so
these chairs are for audience members, not comics.
It's fine though. When somebody like they, because the shows aren't they didn't paper it, which I thank the baby Jesus. But
yeah.
So there was a table of comics, and this guy walked out at 20 minutes into my set, stayed for the rest of the show, but walked out 20 minutes into my set, and then afterwards told me I had a great set. And
you're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, yes, that's an acceptable behavior, but
completely acceptable.
You got to make sure the comic doesn't see you leave the room. Oh,
right.
My God.
Right.
Amateur move.
Too funny. And and then so Maria did a guest set first show. Second show was going to be JT Haberstadt, who I had never met before, but he runs sort of a small one-man band, but super fun, supposedly, comedy festival in Austin, Texas called Altercation.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it,
Yeah, and then second show was just going to be JT Haberstadt's second show, but there was been miscommunication, and Ron Josel also showed up, and so they both went up, and then Carmen's featuring, and Dan Telfer's hosting. So first show tonight, it's Augie Smith doing a guestie, and second show, it's, Akeem Woods. These are all great comics, and it's great.
But there's four in front of you on one of those shows. That's a lot.
Yeah, there was four in front of me on the second show, and so second show was I was
because you're doing a lot of time too.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot. They were so tired by the time I got off.
I bet.
And I forgot giant chunks. I literally did 43 minutes instead of 55.
Right.
And hey, I have a new tooth. And
let's table the Yoo-hoo. We'll get back to it. Tooth, you look amazing. So is it one tooth or what happened? Tell me.
Two teeth. It's essentially my front tooth was chipped. And so when I was like probably 6 or 7, but it was an adult tooth. And so have had a variety of bonding over the decades. The last time I got that one replaced was in when I was 23.
Wow.
So it lasted that long, but I was like, well, let's, you know, I've been staring at myself on Zoom for 16 months.
Sure.
I would like to get this fixed. And so I was like, could you also fix this tooth, which is just turned and just sort of on to make it look like a tooth? And he's like, yes, I could. And so he did, and it does look great, but guess who has to learn how to talk again?
Right before your album taping. Oh my God.
I know it. Which caused me some stress last night, but I was like, that's why I did it this week. Cause I was hoping.
Sure. Well, so the tooth that was turned, did they put a different tooth in, or they can't just turn a tooth, right?
They didn't turn it. I think he just kind of ground it down a little bit.
Okay.
And then filled the gap to make it look like a full tooth. But the rest of my tooth, the turned tooth, is still back there, which is what my tongue keeps hitting.
Oh, interesting. So is that a permanent solution, or are you going to get
that's the permanent solution until all of my teeth fall out and I get dentures. Like,
sure.
Like it's the 1912s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be made out of wood.
Well, you've always been a Founding Father fan, so I think that's good.
Sure.
No, they look great. You look beautiful. I mean,
Thank you.
So exciting. We both had things done.
Right. And then I got cut and color, got rid of the rogue stripe of white that has shown up.
Hair
looks very cute. And I found I found someone to do makeup and hair next week. Because I forgot that great comic, former comic of the week, Amber Preston, does hair and makeup and is from Minneapolis.
Oh.
And she can't come and do it, but she knows people.
Oh, great. That's great.
And all I wanted, really, was someone who knew the person.
Yeah.
So that I could clearly say, I need it to be natural. I need it. I can't have drag queen... You know, I know that drag queens are better women than we are, but mm-hmm. I can't have drag queen makeup. I can't do it.
So. Right. You don't want the false eyelashes and you don't want the makeup getting any attention. You just want to look your best self.
Right. Like my best self. And yeah, just because then I won't be so self-conscious. And
right.
Yeah. And I found a good shirt. I've decided they sent me a picture of the gray backdrop.
Yeah.
That they rented so that mm-hmm. I could film. And that's cool.
Nice.
And, yeah. So yeah, and I'm glad I'm recording. I'm glad Wednesday night will be a night to sort of, you know, fuck around and get the set list yeah. in the order I want to get it still. And then yeah. Thursday through Saturday, we're going to record and film 5 sets. And there should be an hour in there.
There will be. There yeah. will be. So do yeah. you have multiple versions of that shirt in case, because you want to wear the same shirt every night, right?
Right. I don't have multiple versions of
that shirt. Is it a t-shirt? Is it a t-shirt?
It's a fitted camisole kind of thing. And okay. It goes under that black jacket. That
yeah. 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 Time, yeah.
But I'm going to wear it open.
Okay.
And then black pants. Cause the backdrop is not, is gray. Cause I had another pair of pants I was looking at, but Carmen Morales pointed out that, they are gray.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a floating torso. So, yeah.
Well, that was my choice on my special. But you know what? We all have to like what we're putting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to make peace with it eventually. And so that's going to be my task for the next week or so, is to just make peace with it, let it go, just try to do my best mm-hmm. and try to have fun and remember that it's supposed to be fun. And if I can have fun, it'll be fine. Whatever comes out of it will be fine.
The ideal would be you get a great one, like even if it's just a technical perfect mm-hmm. one, Thursday, early Friday, right? So you got it. And then the rest of the shows are, let's just see what happens, you know, and then right. you can mix and match. But if you can get a good, it's like ice skating, right? You get your technical done, you get your sixes, and then you try to do your freestyle, you know, or whatever. I forget what it's called, the freestyle skate. Yeah. The free yeah. skate. Yeah.
The free yeah. skate. Yeah. That would mm-hmm. be, that'd be great too, is if I stuck the landing on like Thursday or Friday, and then yeah. I could screw around for second show and 2 shows Saturday. It would be awesome.
Yep.
And I've been getting a lot of, you know, because I know so many people from Minneapolis, I usually spend my week there. Hanging right. out with people and bringing merch and doing all these things. I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to see my family twice. I am going to just sleep a lot. Andy's coming. He's going to meet with a fan of mine who has a son who wants to make video games. And so Andy's going to go to coffee with them. I don't think the 13-year-old makes drinks coffee, and Andy does not, but they will okay. have hot cocoa or some fucking thing. And
that's cool. Well, Andy's your bodyguard this week. He's going to make sure you take care of yourself. He's going to say no to people. He's going to say no to things and make sure you get your sleep and get your alone time and get your space so that you can focus on your show.
Yeah. He's going to run. He's going to be a pick.
Yeah.
I can work around him. yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it being sort of done
mm-hmm.
because I have other things I want to do.
Right, right, right.
Which is interesting, which is another thing that's kind of interesting.
What do you mean other things you want to do?
Like I think I do want to do sort of a clean best of set.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Just for money reasons.
Yeah, that's a really great idea.
Yeah, and maybe for dry bar reasons. I might do dry bar. I might not. I'm going to talk to an 800-pound. I'm also switching the Dork Forest over to the 800-pound gorilla arm of podcasting.
Oh, okay.
And I want to do that. I want to make those go coincide with when the album comes out.
Yeah.
So that they can, you know.
So 800-pound has like a podcasting arm.
It's called the laugh button. And it's someone okay. they work with.
I've heard of it. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the laugh button.
Yeah. And then other than that, I'm thinking of, there's an animated series with a guy that I love dearly, but working on it is Jimmy Pardo. so I'm cool. But it's literally, it's just another story about a 90s male comic on the road. But it's going to be an animated series instead of a book this time.
Okay.
And you're like, because when he asked me about it, before I knew that Jimmy was playing the 90s comic, I said, have you thought about doing a woman comic on the road in the 90s? Because it happened.
Well, I can't wait for Eliza to play that.
Steady work if you're 35 years old right now. And
yeah, let's see it. Well, you know what? I love Pardo. It'll be great. If Pardo's in it, it's going to be great.
Right, because I had an idea for a sitcom, like a show on Comedy Central, and I've been meaning to put together a pitch document anyway. And I was creating content exactly like that, where the male comic is the main character. And it was going to be a comic was going to be the president. And then I was going to be the press secretary.
Oh.
And because it would be essentially like if Al Franken had become president and the comics that he knew, he gave them cabinet appointments.
That's great. I love
it. And then I was going to be the press secretary and all the people in the cabinet. We're going to try to get on the press secretary announcements every day because they wanted the stage time.
Sure. That's so funny. I love it.
So I wanted it to be Pardo to be president. Initially, I wanted it to be Stanhope to be president.
Yeah. No, Stanhope, Secretary of Defense, obviously.
Oh, my God. The gag with Stanhope was going to be every week I, as press secretary, would say, there's a new scandal. And he would say, is it the thing with ecstasy in Anchorage? And I'd say, no. And he goes, then it doesn't matter. You can tell the message. And that was going to be the running gag. Anyway.
Sure. Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm excited for you. And let's see. I have listened to like a sixth cut of my album. It's getting acceptable.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, you got to.
And then... Yeah. And the other thing, like, so last night is my first, I had two shows last night, 7 and 9:30 at Stir Crazy. And, you know, it's the first, like, even though I did Portland with you, it was your show. I'm only doing a little bit of time. And I didn't feel like, oh, I'm going to be myself. You know, I was a guest on your show.
Right. You were setting it up for me and you did a great job. And I appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. But this is like, oh, this is me now. I'm like the big gorilla at the end of the night.
Yep.
Right. And can I, like, I haven't done that in a year, over a year, you know, you could try on Zoom or whatever, but it, you know, or you're doing your little setlets in Los Angeles that are 10 or 15 minutes long, but it's not like, I'm closing the show.
It's not a road headline set.
It's not. There's nothing, right? There's nothing like
that. How did it feel?
I was terrified. I was up till 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, running over things in my head. And, so I got no sleep. I felt like shit. And, you know, I listened to my album, The Sixth Cut, just to get some old bits in my head in case I needed them. And I'm like, please don't let me need these. Like, I want to move away. There's only two that I still enjoy doing, right? Three chunks, right?
Okay.
That are still fun because there's still room to, you know, play around. And so I put those on. So I made a list of, here's the new stuff I can do that I've been working on since Zoom. And then here's a couple old chunks that I could still have fun doing and wouldn't mind if I did. Right. And then there's other chunks that, like, you know, if I haven't gotten the light yet, okay, I'll do this. Right. Like, please, please just let me not have to go there. But mostly I just wanted to have my energy, you know, my headlining energy. I'm like, do I even still possess that in me? Or have I just become this little curated, you know, porcelain doll that does little tiny sets in little Zoom boxes? And, you know, the first show was really fun. And I'm like, it's still in me. It's still fun. And there were, you know, those moments where everything is killing and you don't even know where you are. Like, you're just kind of going with the flow. And that was happening. There was, you know, fun crowd work, which I love. There was, you know, and then
awesome.
The chunks I'm working on, or the, you know, I got work done on them. Oops, shit. Hold on. Spam.
Hang up. Wow, that seems important.
Yes.
Hilarious.
There's no reason Montgomery, Alabama should be calling me.
Nope.
Let me turn that off. So the stuff I was working on, you know, I was like, oh, I can call this back here. Like I wasn't even doing long enough sets to go, this can call back something, right? And you only realize that on stage because you're saying similar words again. I said grandma 20 minutes ago in this bit, and I say it down here. Oh, let's tie it together. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's call it back. Let's get a free laugh.
Free laugh.
So that was really cool. And so that was like, I did like 52, you know, I was nice. So afraid that I was going to go short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually when I'm headlining clubs somewhere, it's always right around 54 minutes, right? I can't imagine doing an hour. And for some reason, and like Chappelle going beyond, I'm like, I don't even know what's happening.
Those long shows that he was doing for a while and probably still is.
Always.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. Because to me, you're feeling every second when you're on stage. Right. And I think he sort of like takes a lot of pauses and spaces, and maybe his audience is respectful enough not to jump in, but you know, I think you and me and a lot of people were on stage. If we pause for a second, not inside of a bit where we're controlling the pause, but we're just sort of letting, you know, things fill in. Yeah. That's when the audience starts, you know, shouting nice tits or whatever. So you can't leave too much of that. Right.
Right.
But so that was a lot of fun. And then the second show, also my voice started hurting like 20 minutes in. I'm like, oh my God,
look what's happening again. You got to read the muscle. You got to get it back.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd want to also vocal muscles or vocal cords aren't like regular muscles. Like you can't. You know, like I don't want to fuck it up. Right. Yeah. You don't want to have like those kind of problems. So I'm glad I'm shouting and over my air conditioning.
Into the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super important.
But, yes. But, and then the second show, first show was full at full capacity. And the second show was like, maybe 70% or something. Right. And it's not a big room, but it was fun. It was one of those shows where you're like, oh, the audience is too spaced out to have a murder set. So it's going to be like a funky, you know, fuck around set and so that happened.
I can't wait till next fucking weekend where I can do, or the weekend after next where I can have a fuck around set and everybody can have a good time as well. But that sounds like super fun too.
Yeah. Second show was very different from the first show. And I was listening to my sets from last night, and I'm like, oh, I don't have to like mentally tune out of the first 20 minutes because I'm so over this material. Like I was opening with, you know, new stuff and that's working, but it's at least not boring to me. And it's something where like, oh, maybe there's a few more tags in this part, you know, that I'm missing right now. So even the dread of like when you after a Friday or Saturday night on the road, you have 2 45 to an hour long sets you're supposed to listen to. And you're like, oh, I can't do it. I'm like, I am kind of curious. Cause I think I had a couple good lines in that one chunk and the other chunk. And let me see what it is. Cause I'm trying to improve. These things are not finished yet.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. I have my last Bloomington, Indiana set.
Right.
And then everything else is from 21 and there's 13 sets and I've listened to some of them. I haven't been, usually if I listen to them, I delete them, but because I want, what if I did something right? And I might need to go back and listen to it. So I haven't been.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then I realized like this chunk I had been opening with in LA, cause it's just the newest thing I'm working on. I'm like, it's not a good opening chunk because nobody knows anything about me. And I'm immediately talking about this topic. Mm-hmm. So, I'm opening with something else. And then that's helping as well. You know?
Yeah. Cause it fires your brain. It helps you think and be in the moment right from the start. If you start with new stuff, I think.
Oh, sure.
Especially new stuff that works.
Yeah, and
so
also
not brand new stuff, unless you have some sort of weird riffing thing.
Punchlines, newer punchlines that are working. Yeah, there's a chunk that's working really well. And then the other thing is again, what I think with Zoom shows is that we are doing jokes for people that know us, like they're podcast fans, they know our lives. So, in my case, I've been doing less, you know, less of the work of introducing, ideas and just getting right to the punchline. Cause I'm like, oh, you guys know I have a kid, whatever. And of course now in front of strangers who just want, perhaps came to me on purpose or just wandered into the show. And it's like, oh, I need to set this up a little bit better, you know, and maybe there's a little joke in the setup a little bit. And I, you know, we just had the last year where we didn't, that almost felt like superfluous information.
That's an excellent point because the last several shows that I've done, it's been people who I met on Zoom. And I've actually had to tell a couple of people who emailed me in the last week, they said they're coming to Minneapolis. And I was like, can you do me a favor and not sit in the front row? Because you've heard all the jokes.
Right.
Just sit middle back. Just, I can't look at you because I've looked at you at a Zoom screen 300 times.
Right.
And, and everybody's been really nice about it. They're like, yeah, no, I'll sit, you know, because there's not a bad seat at Acme. They're just as
right.
So, just don't sit in the front. Last night, my buddy Aldrin, who I game with now and is a big comedy fan and has heard all of these jokes, was sitting in the front row. And at one point I was just like, hey, Aldrin, how's it going?
Enjoying it's the too show? Conversational.
It was literally too conversational.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too funny. I got to get out of my head. Hey, let's do a break.
Yeah, I just realized I forgot to check what time we started. Are we like a half hour in?
Yeah, we're a half hour in.
Okay.
So we'll do a break and he can put the ads here.
Hello, I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And we host Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us.
Every week, we share media that made us who we are. Things like Archie Comics.
Sailor Moon.
And lots of Taylor Swift.
And now that Riley's an adult, it comes with 100% more butts.
And now I am totally comfortable with it.
So check out new episodes of Still Buffering every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
Butts, butts, butts. Join in, Riley. Butts, butts, butts.
Butts, 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 butts,
butts, butts, butts, butts.
Hi, this is Lori, and I'm going to talk to you about Stitch Fix. It offers clothing hand-selected by expert stylists for your unique size, style, and budget. You can try on pieces at home before you buy. You keep your favorites, and you send the rest back. They have free shipping. They have super easy returns. I told you last time I returned a whole box, it was no problem. You just use the prepaid return envelope. It's included. It's so easy. There's no subscription required. You try Stitch Fix once and set up automatic deliveries. You'll pay just $20 for a styling fee for each box, but that gets credited to the pieces you keep. And I kept this kind of halter top thing this time. So the $20 went right into that. And I'm excited because it's the first time I've had a halter like since I was 11. So it's very exciting. Get started today at stitchfix.com/Jackie Laurie, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/Jackie Laurie for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix box. Stitch. Get rid of that, Kyle. stitchfix.com/Jackie Laurie. Hi. Okay. So this is our new sponsor. And I screamed when I was told about this because this is the first time I've already been participating or buying stuff from this company. And I was like, of course they should be. I would love it. It's Wild Alaskan Company. And they send you fish. It's salmon, it's whitefish, you can get halibut, and it's all from Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. Here's the thing, you know you should be eating more fish, get your omega-3s and your protein, but the seafood counter is completely intimidating. What fish tastes the best, which type of cut, what's the quality? Wild Alaskan Company takes the guesswork out of it. And it really does. I'm telling you, for at least a year, I've been getting these chunks of fish, frozen fish sent to me. And this isn't even the stuff they're bragging about when they're telling us to tell you. Their packaging is completely recyclable. They have this stuff that looks like styrofoam, but it's actually compostable. So you can either compost it or throw it away, but there's no guilt. And the fish is amazing. I only get salmon. I love salmon so much, I'm actually afraid to try anything else, which, you know, I need to get over that. But I've been getting it for over a year, once a month, and I love it. And Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. You can choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Each shipment contains individually wrapped portions of delicious wild-cut seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. My freezer is just full of salmon cuts, and I just pull them out, defrost them, and throw some lemon pepper and salt and olive oil and grill. Oh my God, it's so good. So right now you can get $15 off your first box when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Jackie Laurie. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Jackie Laurie for $15 off your first box. Trust me, it's so good.
Should we do comic of the week?
And comic of the week, Brittany Schmidt.
Yeah. So have you seen her?
I have heard of her. I have not gotten to see her. Did you get to see her?
Yeah. I worked, a golf course last week, Thursday night. It'll be last Thursday when this comes out. And, it was, of course, it's open air at night. And so she was up on stage when I walked in, or she was just being brought up, and, I hadn't seen her before. And she was like, you think I have dark shit about my mother dying. The circumstances of her mother's death are worse.
Right.
And more worse. Difficult comedically to work
what?
With. Right. And they were new jokes. I don't know if it's a new situation in her life or if she's just deciding to talk about it. I wasn't clear on that, but I mean, they were some really funny, dark jokes at this golf course. And some of the people were really into it. But you can't tell because the laughs are going right into the night sky, right?
Right.
But just really, really funny. And I was, you know, super impressed. And also it just takes longer to work out bits like that because your comfort level has to be equal on that bit as it is to talking about your kid or talking about a Tinder date, right? It has to be, your voice can't change. You can't get wobbly. It can't seem emotional. And of course, when you're announcing, you know, when you have a tragic death to even, it's hard to say the words yourself, but now they have to be a setup.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Now it's not a thing to you. It's a setup to a joke. And so it takes a really long time to get that comfort level. I mean, I'm still working on it with my stuff. So just seeing her just kind of wobbly sort of come out, and there were really funny jokes. And just, I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see this in a year, you know?
Okay. And so Brittany Schmidt, BrittitanySchmidt. Is her Instagram. And did you find her Twitter? She's very, very light on Twitter.
She's more of an Instagram comic.
Okay.
But I think her Twitter's like, it's Brit, and then two B's on the first Brit and one B on the second, or one T on the second. I don't know. You know what? You
go to Instagram. It. You'll find
it. Yeah. She's not on Twitter.
Yeah. You're good. So Brittany Schmidt, that's neat. I can't wait to see her. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw Debbie Gutierrez last night. Hanging out.
Cool.
She was on the show with Jimmy Brogan and Leno and in the main room.
Okay.
Right?
What does she do? Did she do the Tonight Show with Leno?
I don't think she did because she said that she has a picture in her Instagram where she said she had just met him. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. She should have done it.
A hundred times.
I'm not going to say this to his face, but he's meeting a lot of comics at Flappers now that he fucking should have put on the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he knows it. You know what I mean?
Right. I doubt that. But it's not that he's not a nice guy. I just think that he doesn't, he's probably not thinking about it at all. He's just,
I have no idea, but it, you know, it's, there's people that have been more than ready for a Tonight Show for, you know, 15 years or however long he had it. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I remember one of the first times I met Jimmy Brogan. And this is such a funny story, and I'll stand by it, as will Jimmy Brogan, I'm sure.
Okay.
Because I met him at the Improv. He came up to me after my set, and he said, "I just have to talk to you about your act."
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Like, what year is this?
99?
Okay. All right.
2001, maybe? You know, I'm 16, 17 years in. And he is like, he said that he thought I was very funny and it was very flattering, but he said that he didn't think that I should swear and he didn't think that, you know, I had to watch the topics. He had the party line, right? He had the party line about women comics.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and right, then
probably 4 or 5 years ago, I did that Vitello's gig with him that Wendy.
Oh, Lee, yeah. Wendy Leibman's, yeah.
And he came up to me and he was like, "I got to talk to you about your act." We're talking 4 years ago, and I was like, "Jimmy, you don't actually." That's where I'm at these days. These days, I can just say you actually do not have to talk to me about my act. But
I mean,
then he insisted, and I was like, "You can talk to me about my act, but you don't have to." And then he did, and it was the same advice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in a way that's him going, "She's almost perfect. Let me just, you know," that's good. He never wanted to talk to me about my act.
Right. I mean, it means
he always thought I was like, "No, that's never happening on the Tonight Show. Sorry."
Yeah, no, I mean, he's clearly, he enjoys the material. He enjoys the topics and the premises and some of the punchlines.
Sure.
But he wants it to be, there's, you know, I have been that where I've watched other comics and I'm like, if I could just.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I was raised in stand-up comedy to not, I mean, he worked at Leno. So, I mean, I think that it'd be like Eddie Brill, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were like, "How do I get on Leno? Tell me advice." And so if you get into a rut where someone is asking you to give them advice, it can lead to unsolicited advice. But I remember when I was first starting out, it was like one of the first things I learned right after "Do not steal material" was "Do not give other comics unsolicited advice."
I guess, well, no one sat down and told me that. I mean, I never felt my advice was good enough to give at a time, but there's times now where I'm like, where I feel like, oh, if someone just used a different word, you know, word.
Tags and not words and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not a full tag, but like, I will sometimes say, you know, or an angle or something sort of joke machine, like, right.
I saw somebody performing and that they had a very funny joke, but it was something involving their hands. And I was like, if you just put the mic in the stand, you've got both hands now, you're not holding a mic with it. And I think it'll work better.
You remember that, the frozen food, Indian Native American frozen food bit that I did?
Oh, yes.
Whatever.
You did it on Conan, right?
I did it on Conan.
Yeah.
And so many people wanted to tag that bit. And some of them were okay. Mike Lawrence came up with Sackage of Wheaties. So I don't know how. And I will always credit him.
Yeah.
And just because when you have some people don't like to admit that anyone's tagged anything of theirs or helped with a joke at all.
Yeah.
I feel like that's rude. Don't use it then.
You
got to share the wealth, man.
I forget the name of the guy who tagged my uncle joke. Because my second tag was aunt, and then he gave me grandpa, at Seattle Laughs, but I know what he looks like, so hopefully I'll run into him again. But I'm like, oh, what's his name?
I can't remember the name of the guy who just gave me a great tag for my Andy Dad joke.
Oh.
Yeah, the Mississippi thing. And but if I ask Jeff Tice, he'll know. Okay. He was sitting, and that because that guy was also booked on the Denver shows.
Yeah,
I just can't remember his name. Yeah, so
no, I have a bit like that where, well, no, it's just like one of the first two times I tried it, comics came in with ideas, and now it feels sort of infected, and I'm like, guys, get out of this pool, all right? Let me just, I'll do it my way. I like, you know, your way is how you would do it if you were me, but you're not, and just let me see, let me swim around in it first. Thank you.
All the comics last night love my murder hornet joke.
Sure.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, the audience is hit and miss on that. But I'm glad you guys like it.
You only need one show to hit next week. That's
exactly.
It.
That's all I need. And then we just put it out there. And it's going to be, I think that it's important. So we go on Wednesday.
When are you guys are flying out Wednesday night?
Yeah. And Carmen Morales is going to take care of Gordy and the house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we're going to, she's going to drive us to the airport and pick us up from the airport.
You're going in and out of LAX.
Yeah. We're Jackie. Paying her. We're, it's all part of the,
no, I didn't
it's
mean
it's going to be money.
Of yeah. course. No, no, yeah. I wasn't talking about that. I'm just talking about the agony of LAX. Just,
oh, right.
I can't tell you. Last weekend when I was coming back, I realized my TSA pre had expired. Right.
Oh no.
I thought Alaska fucked up on the way out, but you know, at Burbank, the difference is there's two people in line or three people in line, right? Yeah. You're not saving a ton of time, you know, at least, when I left, but then I realized, oh, it's expired. And so I repaid it, and I, you know, it was back on my boarding pass by yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's so fast, Burbank. Like, I was at LAX when it was awful before this pandemic, and everything I've read on it's just like, it just seems like a crime scene practically.
It's okay. I actually don't mind it. The one thing that Delta is doing, they're almost done with the terminal. Terminal 2 is almost completely there.
They're still working on Terminal 2? Are you serious?
There's one gate where you have to get on bus, like a bus, and drive to the other gate.
No!
Yeah, but it looked just like Defending Your Life at the end where Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep are on buses going back to Earth.
Right.
And, but on the whole, it's they've broken up the lanes. And so if you don't come in at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, you're fine. And like, I think my flight last week to Portland was at 6 a.m. So I had to get there at 4:30.
Oh, so gosh.
Yeah. And so there's no one there, you know?
Right.
And then I go to the Sky Club. There isn't a Sky Club in Burbank. So the good news is that there's,
oh my God,
free coffee.
What a snob. So you'll go through all of that bullshit at LAX so you can get free coffee at the Sky Club.
Well, it's also $300 less for the ticket.
All right. Well, I see.
Yeah.
advance. Southwest isn't bad. Like I bought a ton of tickets in advance on Southwest out of Burbank. And then with Southwest, if you don't use the ticket, if the gig is canceled or changed or something, it just goes back to your Southwest credit and you'll use it within the year. So, you know, not a bad deal.
No, Southwest is I love Southwest. And
You get two suitcases for free.
For free.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've decided not to sell. Somebody was like, are you going to sell merch next week? And I was like, while I'm filming, you want me to pitch merch at the end of my set? I can't do it. And they're like, oh, I was going to buy a thing. And I'm like, this literally reminds me of when I was in, remember I cut my finger?
Yes.
I have this crazy scar because I had a temper tantrum and, I used to have anger issues.
Used to.
Oh my God. But they're much better.
And I think your anger comes out in your emoticons. When you send me a colon, a semicolon, and a smile, I know you've had it with me. and a closed paragraph. Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Something to look forward to, everybody. It's I think I do. But what I've always done with my anger has usually been directed at myself. And Scott Hansen one time, I had my very first, I think I've told you this story. The very first audition I ever had was to be on one of the MTV, like to be a talking head. So it had to be like 1992 or 93. And so it was an audition. And I think...
Was it Attention Span Theater? Short Attention Span Theater?
No, I don't remember the name of it. But I think Ed McMahon might have had something to do with it on MTV.
Weird.
Whatever it was, or I'm conflating two things together, but whatever it was my first one. It was MTV. This has never said MTV. I didn't know that Stevie Nicks was in Fleetwood Mac.
A band.
So, yeah. So, no. And but the deal is that Scott Hansen used to literally, just for giggles, right? He would pit the MCs against each other. He got these two guys to just literally hate each other.
Right.
And you're like, what are you doing? They're the same guy, right? They're just both young white male comics trying to get some stage time. And he was giving them both work, but he would play them off of each other. And it was very jackassery.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it to me too much, but he had an opportunity because I was vulnerable because it was my first audition and I was kind of excited about it. And so he said, will you host the karaoke before the show? Because there was always karaoke before the show.
Before the stand-up show?
Yeah.
Before your audition?
Yeah. And so he was like, would you host? And I was like, no, I'm in this one, Scott. I would do it if I wasn't in this one, but you've never given me the chance to be in the thing. And they asked to see me. And he was like, okay, I was going to give you $20. And I needed the $20.
Oh.
So I was like, I will host it until seating. I will not do it while they file in. So I gave me half an hour before the show. And he was like, okay. So I do it. I'm twitchy as fuck, right? I can't get in my set. I can't figure out what I'm doing. So I go up to hang out with the, you know, sort of off the green room and sort of go run through my set. And one of the comics starts talking to me, a guy I love, but he won't stop talking to me. And I was like, you can't talk to me right now. I didn't explain it. I've been doing this. I have to chill. You have to not talk to me. So he wasn't hearing any of it. So he follows me.
Oh, what?
Still talking to me. Ugh. So I had a, this, I'm not the hero of this story. I turned around and I punched the wall. Like a man. Like a crazy asshole. And I punched.
Like a club owner.
Like a club owner. Like an alcoholic. Anyway, so, but I, so what I did was I punched a framed poster.
Okay.
And glass. Always framed with glass. Cuts down on the glare. And so all the glass fell on my hand. And a shard went.
Oh, right. I see.
And went in between the tendons, we could say, because I can still do that. But that's good. But it cut it all the way to the bone. So I went into the bathroom and washed it, and I could see my, it was gross. But so I come back into the green room and I grab a Comedy Gallery t-shirt and I wrap it around my hand. And I'm
God.
The show has started.
So full of metaphors. I can't even handle it.
Listen to this one.
A blood soaked comedy t-shirt.
So I go to whoever's hosting or running this thing and I go, hey, I just cut my hand. Can I go up next? And they're like, no. No, you have to go to the hospital now. 14 stitches.
Wow.
And 3 stitches here.
I love your optimism that the crowd wouldn't notice you're bleeding out on stage.
That's exactly.
Like, you're worried about your makeup now. You were actually...
I was actually dripping, and it was very funny because one of the
with a giant shirt around your hand as it as the red starts to spread slowly across the white shirt.
Exactly,
and you're pretending it's fine.
You guys don't party.
You're talking about dating.
Don't you guys party? Do you remember that old? You remember that old story from the 80s where there was a guy in I think Kansas City or St. Louis or something, and he had done. It was some comic who had done so much coke that his nose was bleeding onto his white shirt, and he never noticed.
God.
And the audience just sort of were like, "Your face." They were like, "What?"
Wow.
And so he literally went like this, and he goes, "What, you guys don't party?"
You know what I'm going to ask you that was? Okay, Craig Gass is doing guest sets on the Late Shows. He did one last night and he's doing it tonight. That guy knows every showbiz story. He knows every comic who did everything. I will find out who that comic was. Because we were just talking. We were, we should get them in a room together and just fill in all these stories.
Yeah, because Augie will remember he's doing the first show tonight with me. Who is the comic who knows everything that you just said?
Craig Gass.
Oh, I don't know him. Met him, but
really,
I don't.
He's very funny. He's super nice, and he has a ton of stories. And he's also he's always asking for stories. So you know he's going to tell your stories to somebody else. And he's like, and he goes, "What good stories do you have?" I go, "I don't know. I can't remember." And then he starts asking really specific questions, like, "Who from your scene didn't go the place that you thought they would go, and why?" And I'm like, "Oh, all right. I got a story."
That guy who wore a hat.
It's always the guy who wears a hat. That's
there's always a good story around the hat guy.
Too many.
That guy either gets his shit together and the hat becomes something that he remember this guy?
The hat comes off and the plugs come in. Wait, who are you typing? Yes. Yes, yeah, you spelled his last name wrong, but yeah.
Right, and he's a mess.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
A bit of an elbow squeezer, you know.
Sure. No, the other thing about, I was thinking with merch, I'm like, you could bring it and have Andy sell it if you wanted to, but then people are going to want to talk to you after the show if you're out there hovering, and you need to like not be taking in audience participation after your show if you really got to focus on your next one, you know?
Right, especially Friday and Saturday. Yeah, they're just going to have to either buy merch online or they're just have to wait till the next time I'm in Minneapolis.
You hate to lose sales, though. You hate to lose sales.
I so hate to lose sales. I really do. But I'm just like, I can't face it. And, that reminds me. I'm supposed to bring.
Wait, hold on. I figured out a way. But what if you bring, you don't even mention merch. It's not your problem. It's you pay someone to do it, right? Or Andy does it. And you know, you just don't come out after say the first shows on Friday and Saturday. Maybe if you feel like you can come out and stand next to the merch and sign stuff on Thursday and the two late shows, because you don't have to do anything else that night. I'm just saying maybe you're leaving $1,000 on the table if you don't have that. But the other thing is you know, it would totally be somebody else's responsibility from packing it to picking it, the whole thing. Right.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted that responsibility.
Right. If I just pulled it and then just gave him the case, and it's an idea. If I can calm down, I think I might make the decision after these two shows tonight because I'll know how I feel.
Right.
Cause I don't think it's so funny because my brother just shipped me, I think it's 100 of the misprinted Bread CDs. I printed the Bread CD. Stand Up Records was going to do it, but it was taking too long for me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'm going to take the master, print 1,000 of them, start selling them.
Yeah.
I didn't put the title track on it. I did the master.
You saved a bit for the next album.
There's a different, even a different album cover. Cause it's this album cover is based on the band Bread.
Oh, I see.
And it's,
wow.
Yeah. And, cause that's the title track. It's about the band Bread.
Yeah.
And, so I have been sending like two of these with everyone who's ordered something like a t-shirt, something big enough that it's not taking up more space.
Right.
And I've taken them packaging off and I've just written coaster on it. So it's just giving away.
I like how you're sending recycling to people. That's nice.
Yeah, throw this out for me. The old Mitch Hedberg joke. The thing is so my brother said that to me, my brother Phil said that to me. And the weird thing is I'm going to be there on Wednesday and I could have just stacked them with a sign that said free coasters.
Ha! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there you go. Oh, well, you know, you can't tell. Hey, let's take another break.
Okay.
Because I think we're pretty close to being done.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Anyway, I think we got another 10 minutes.
Okay. So mask wise out here, the audience is not masked at all. Obviously not masked on stage. And then I just was like, you know what? I was wearing a mask like the first part of the 7 o'clock show. And then I'm like, I'm going to be in a room with these people for, you know,
hours,
an hour. So what am I doing? So, you know, I'm just fingers crossed that I'm not vulnerable to Delta right now, you know?
Yeah. And they did say, I mean, the numbers that I quoted on the text thread, those mm-hmm. are real. I mean, with the regular variant, the COVID-19, with vaccines, you have 3% chance of getting it. And you, with getting it, you're most likely not going to have to go into the hospital.
Like yeah, you won't die.
Yeah, 100%, you know.
Right.
Unless you have some other extenuating circumstance, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I think with like the people that, the very few vaccinated people that have died have had,
other issues.
Problems. Right, yeah. Right. That make them very vulnerable to anything like that. Yeah.
To getting sick at all. And then all of a sudden it just piles on top of what they already have.
Right.
And with the Delta variant, according to some studies at this point, there's another 3%. So there's a 6% chance you might get the variant if someone has it. Again, no hospitalization, no death. Mm-hmm. Unless you have extenuating circumstances. So,
well, it's still scary.
It's still scary. It's still a crapshoot. But we have to work.
I know.
Eventually, we have to figure out how to do this. Did you hear Biden said today that because he pulled out of Afghanistan? And so somebody said, well, don't you feel responsible to essentially fix the world's problems? And for the first time since martial law, since the Marshall Project in the 1860s, 1880s.
No, that was 1940s, Marshall.
Oh, was that?
Yeah. Are you thinking of,
I'm totally you're thinking wrong. You're of right.
James Madison. I forget what it's called, but it's like we own every colony. We own every continent. Yeah. I forget what it's called.
We're,
yeah.
We're now the empire. We're the colonial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And, for the first time a president has said, no, we're not going to do it, which is the first, it's a great sign of decline of empire. I'm a huge fan. Of decline of American empire. Yeah,
maybe the empire should decline. It's a very mixed reviews worldwide on this empire.
Right, like the Chinese are going to take over and they're going to fuck it up too, but at least, I mean, we still have a responsibility to not screw up the world more, but at least we won't be actively like doing the horrible things as much.
Right. I mean, you got to feel, you know, terrible for women in Afghanistan because they're losing some protections, you know.
Oh, it's so awful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're still able to have as many babies as they can.
Right. Okay. So I saw Black Widow yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Everybody just skip the next 30 seconds. The writing on this thing, I read an amazing article that there was in this thing. There was some article. The guy who wrote it, there was a guy who, there was several writers, but there was a guy who came in and he wrote Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of the one-shots. They're very funny and they're very quippy. And this thing, Black Widow is great, by the way. It is super, it's got everything that all those boy action movies have, mm-hmm. but with women. And it is, and it doesn't do, and I understand why Captain Marvel did this, but it didn't do any of the Captain Marvel kind of rah-rah, we're women. Instead, because this guy wrote this weird joke that, God, I'm forgetting the actress's name. So the director was
Florence Pugh or yeah, Pugh. So, I don't know. What's her name? P-U-G-H.
Right. So
I don't know. It's so going to be Pugh. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, go Pugh.
sorry. I just needed to giggle over a Pugh joke. I apologize. Back to story.
Has to be done sometimes.
Yeah.
And so Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, and Kate, forget her last name, who directed. They were reading the script. Okay. And in the middle of the script, there's he had written some period joke. He's like,
a guy writing a period joke.
About how
don't need to hear it.
You guys are so aggressive. Are you on your period? But the thing is there was no joke. It was literally just that sentence.
Right.
And Florence literally riffed the greatest, awesomest, and in canon makes sense to the Black Widow program in Russia in the comic books. And
that's cool.
I was like, I love this entire scene. And the bad guy was such a bad guy. There's a great line when Scarlett Johansson, Natasha Romanoff, confronts the super bad, and he makes some just throwaway line about women that mm-hmm. is really a defining moment of how bad that guy is. I was like, yeah, that's a bad guy. And it was really funny. It was really, really actiony. And it might be even more fun than like Civil War or Winter Soldier as far as like action. Awesome.
Well, you're right. Talking right on my alley now, Jackie.
exactly. Comparative MCU yes. movies. Of course you've seen them all. I just talked for an hour with a guy.
Okay. That explains it.
About a movie called Remember the Titans. That was his, that's an upcoming Dork Forest with an Atlanta comic, a guy that I've met. His name's Damon Sumner.
Mm-hmm.
And, but his dorkdom, he loved that Joy L. Johnson did Gone with the Wind and essentially brought me scene by scene through Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
It's a great episode of the Dork Forest. So
Can
I do Remember the Titans? And I was like, if I remember correctly, that is some sort of sport movie with Denzel Washington. That isn't He Got Game. And he was like, yes, it's about football.
So, oh, okay. I remember that. I remember. Yeah.
Do you remember mm-hmm. Remember the Titans?
And, I didn't see it, but I remember thinking that should be something I would see if I was a different person and went to movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we went to a movie theater. We went to see Black Widow in the movie theater.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Andy wore his mask through the entire movie. The rest of us did not.
Is it also available on streaming?
Yes. And that's okay. What I wanted to do. I was like, why don't we just watch it in our living room like Christians on Disney Plus? And he was like, because I want to see it on the big screen. And there was genuinely 30 minutes of previews. I was supposed to do somebody else's podcast. I had to cancel.
Wow.
There were 30 minutes of previews. There was also 10 or 15 minutes of thank God you're back. Thank you for coming back to a movie theater.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's so expensive. It's just so expensive. You know?
It wasn't anymore.
You want to buy your snacks, you know, when I take my son, we get the snacks
popcorn
and the drinks
and the drinks.
Whatever.
I know. So then it's $60 instead of 40, but
right.
Or 30 rather. Yeah.
Hey, why? Because Black Widow would have cost, they're charging
$30 for Disney Plus.
Whoa.
But that's for you to watch it with the whole family at home.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense for them. Yeah, just still, it's, yeah, I guess that, yeah. That's the new world.
Two tickets. They were $15 a piece. Yeah.
So, the math works. The math works.
The math is real.
We both have two 50-minute sets we got to do tonight in a couple hours, right? I mean, can we talk?
I would like to end it at we're
sure, let's
see you later.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.